Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
Hello everyone out there in Mariachi USA world. This is Tiger.
And this is Rodri.
How you doing, Rodri?
Oh, I'm tired.
I can tell you how you're doing because I know people hear in individual episodes, you know, we're going to keep doing these, but you know, we're building these episodes, and while we're building them, you know, there's a lot of emotion that's coming through for everyone. And we're reliving our journey. We're reliving your journey, you know, and a lot of times when we do these things, we get it done with, and then we go to our space, our place, our home, and like exhale, but we never hear anything from anybody about it. And this is a good practice, or it's a good way to really go back and understand what people really felt and we didn't get to hear. So
that is so true, and you nailed it. You know, there's so many people just nailing things for me and for us, but it is true what they say, that once, you know, you put down that last mic and the last lights go off and that last car drives off the property of the Hollywood Bowl or any venue for that matter, and I'm basically in my dressing room just gathering up everything that happened over the last 5 hours, we come home. You know, we know people loved it because we hear their applause.
And they come back.
And that very night of the show, they buy tickets for the following year.
Yeah.
Well, the phenomenon of Mariachi USA is sometimes we don't know what the date's going to be. And people don't care because they plan their June around Mariachi USA. And so we put the tickets on sale and they choose to buy. Mm-hmm. And that's why tickets sell quickly. We have still tickets for this year.
Yeah.
But indeed, I mean, each order comes in and it's 30 tickets, 40 tickets, 60 tickets. And we haven't even gotten off the stage yet.
Yeah.
And the tickets are selling like crazy.
And that's a good feeling. That's a good feeling to know that people want to come back and see us.
So but you know by that?
By that, yes.
But not by words of someone actually telling us the things that we have heard, that it fills me and it gives me amazing spiritual energy. But at the same time, we're doing the podcast, but we're also simultaneously working on the show.
Yes.
And we're going through every single song. And the way we run this show is that we actually sing pieces of the songs to see how one song is going to go into the next one and how we envision what the lighting's going to be like. And are we going to add dancers here? We're going to, you know, maybe have all female dancers, all male dancers. Do we do what kind of an intro? And like, who's on first, who's on next? And, you know, I don't believe in cue cards. So then I need to memorize the 5 hours and do it quickly.
Right.
You know, there's not a lot of time to talk unless you tell me, you know, hey, we need to make time here. Go out and do something. I go out and do what? You've been a tap dance or what? Because I don't want a lot of talk in between. I want our audience to get 100% of that music. That's what they're there for. That's what they expect. And nothing but the best. So when we get this kind of feedback, it's, oh my goodness, it's stuff that we have never heard. Well, I shouldn't say never heard, because it trickles in.
Yeah.
It trickles in. But this is almost overwhelming. You know, my heart is so full right now of hearing the response, and people are texting us, and everything is so positive.
Yeah.
So
and it's coming from our peers, you know, the people that you know, we share the stage with, you know, where, you know, it's people that say things like, you know, this is one of the greatest shows I've ever been a part of. And they've done world tours, you know, and our 5 hours on that incredible stage is the highlight of their career. You know, I know it's been the highlight of mine. So, you know, talking about, you know, those people that we are hearing their stories, and everyone has a story, and we're going to keep doing this so we can get the stories out. But not all of them, you know, end up being, you know, on the stage of the Hollywood Bowl performing in mariachi, you know, those that have that mariachi DNA. Some of them become, you know, more than just
they become they become educators of those that are on that stage.
Exactly, exactly. And today, for this podcast, we're going to bring on a special guest who his journey was started mariachi. He kept that mariachi with him as he became chancellor of the schools of New York City, which is, I'm sure he'll tell us, you know, what that was like. And
well, let's hear what he has to say.
Let's bring him on. Rodri, we have another incredible person on our podcast. When we talk about mariachi DNA, it's strong in this one, as they say in those the force, the DNA is strong in this one. And I speak of a good friend who's my compadre, in full disclosure. I was best man at his wedding. Mr. Richard Carranza has a journey that is incredible with his service in education as being chancellor, and I'll let him tell you everything he's done. But Rodri, we have Richard Carranza on our podcast today.
Welcome, Ricardo.
Muchas gracias, and it's a pleasure to be with you, Anthony, and my beloved Rodri. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Well, let's start off by just, give us an introduction to Richard Carranza, you know, how the journey started, how the DNA, you know, started showing itself in your life.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Tucson, Arizona, but my dad was a self-taught guitarist, and every weekend or every other weekend, my dad and his brothers would get together for a barbecue, and you know, they would play their guitars, and I wanted to stay up, and my dad would always say, no, the only people that can stay up are the people that are playing guitars. So, you know, it was his way of saying to go to bed, but it made me really wanted to play guitar. And not so long into the future, my dad said to us, to my brother and I, you know, there's a group called them Los Changuitos Feos, and they're a mariachi group. And do you want to see if you can be part of the Changuitos Feos? So we said, sure. So we went and we auditioned and we became part of Los Changuitos Feos. And in 1979, it's a seminal moment for me. In 1979 in San Antonio, Texas, Texas, there was the first ever international mariachi conference where Mariachi Vargas de Tecalitlan was going to be the clinicians. So we went to rehearsal one night, and the director said, there's going to be this conference and Mariachi Vargas are going to be the clinicians and we're going to go. And I was 12 years old, never had flown on an airplane, never had traveled away from my parents. And all of a sudden, here I am on an airplane going to San Antonio, Texas, to be part of this international mariachi conference with my idols, which were Mariachi Vargas de Tecalitlan. They were like our Beatles.
And how did they become that to you at that age? Because people were actually like listening to Beatles, you know. You know, how did a young man, I know you have a twin brother. So how, mm-hmm. for both of you, Vargas became your idol. I'm just curious of how that connected.
Well, when we decided to really try to study mariachi music, there were not a lot of people that could teach us mariachi music. So we would buy albums. And the albums that we would buy were Mariachi Vargas albums. And we wouldn't buy one or two. We'd buy three or four because we would scratch them. Learning, just listening to them and listening to them and listening to them, trying to emulate what they were playing on their albums. And so they became to us, they're our idols. They were like the best of the best. And my dad was also very much, he wasn't a mariachi, but he always said the best mariachi in the world is Mariachi Vargas. And so we just became aficionados, we became students, we became just followers of Mariachi Vargas. They became like our Beatles. Like if I saw Mariachi Vargas performing, you know, I was going to scream my head off. And all of a sudden, we're going to go to San Antonio and we're going to see Mariachi Vargas and we're going to learn from Mariachi Vargas.
Wow.
So that was part of our DNA in Tucson, Arizona. I will tell you that when I met Mariachi Vargas, you know, you would expect that they would be very well known, very well adored. They would be, you know, kind of standoffish because they're the stars. They were the most down to earth, salt of the earth people. Like they were, mijo, you know, I remember asking Pepe Martinez, ¿me puedes tocar las bodas de Luis Alonso? Seguro que sí, mijo. He would just play bodas de Luis Alonso on his violin. And I would ask Juan Pinzón, ¿me puedes tocar las bodas? And he would say, seguro que sí. And he would play his part. And they were just the most down-to-earth, relationable people. And it just, it solidified in me, in my DNA, that I wanted to be a mariachi musician because I wanted to be able to own my instrument, own my craft, but I also wanted to be humble enough to let others know what my music was. That was my experience.
That's, you know, it's a reminder, in those early days when I was, you know, learning also and with the Vargas and how accessible they were, you know, there was never this, you know, I don't need to show you anything. I don't need to teach you anything. You know, they understood the assignment, you know, they understood that,
yeah.
You know, they needed to show us, they needed to share with us because, you know, the art is that important. And that's the kind of thing that's continuing today in education. I know you mm-hmm. continue to share, you know, what you were taught. I know that first conference for many in San Antonio, that was, you know, created by, Bel Ortiz and Juan Ortiz, in San Antonio, yep. It changed a lot of lives. So you took a path of education, mm-hmm. and many took other paths. Many became professionals. I know Changuitos Feos formed, into Mariachi Cobre, who are going to be at our show this year for the 35th.
And by the way, for those of you out there that have no idea what Changuitos Feos is, it's Ugly Monkeys, and go figure. Maybe you can shed some light as to why that group was named Changuitos Feos.
So it was way before my time. Changuitos Feos was back in 1964 in Tucson, and there was a Roman Catholic priest named Charles O'Rourke. There was a bunch of kids, and he wanted to get them, you know, he wanted to get them doing something positive. So he formed a mariachi group. He was a jazz musician. Whoa. And, you know, they were Changuitos Feos. I mean,
it was cute little monkeys, cute little monkeys, ugly monkeys.
And what happens to the ugly little monkeys as they get older? What do they become?
They become gorillas.
They become Randy and Steve Carrillo, you know, these masters of a stage, Dios mío.
Absolutely. Just incredible human beings and people that have transformed music education, mariachi education all over the country in and of themselves. So I'm just very proud to be part of that lineage.
Well, you know, you took what you learned and you took that passion for education and teaching and learning and like I said, you chose a path to educate and to be a administrator in education. Kind of give me a little overview, or give Rodri and I a little overview of those moments you hit and never let the DNA leave you as being an educator and being an administrator.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I learned very early in life was that, you know, my parents always said, you're going to go to college. They had no idea what it meant that you're going to go to college. They didn't know about FAFSA. They didn't know about college preparatory curriculum. They didn't know. They just said, you're going to go to college. And so for us, my brother and I, it was never a question of whether or not we were going to college. We're going to go to college. So when I went to college, I went as an engineering student. That was my major. And a year and a half into my major, I realized that I really hated math and I really hated science,
I can relate.
Which is not a good thing.
I'm there.
Which is not a good thing if you want to be an engineer. But I remember that during that time, I was also giving private lessons, teaching guitar to mariachi students, because that was part of my way of supporting myself going through college. And I remember thinking, you know, I can go to the science library and do my, you know, homework for my engineering class, or I can go and do my my session with my student that I'm teaching to play guitar. And I remember thinking, I love teaching. Oh, yeah. And I made the change to become an education major rather than an engineer, and it changed my life.
Good choice.
So I became a bilingual social studies teacher because I loved history, and I loved just the whole nature of learning about where we've been, where we're going. And then because I had taken kind of the scenic route through my undergraduate, I had enough credits to get a music degree. So I got a music minor. Wow. and I got hired to be a social studies teacher at the high school that I graduated from. And I taught, you know, bilingual world history, bilingual American government, American history. And on the weekends, I was gigging in Tucson. Uh-huh. And invariably, kids would come on Monday and say, "Hey, sir, was that you I saw this weekend?" And I would say to them, "Well, it depends where you saw me. Where did you see me?" And they would say, "No, you were my prima's quinceañera. You were playing in a mariachi." And wow. I would say, "Yeah, that's me." And they were like, "We want a mariachi. We want a mariachi. We want a mariachi." And at the school that I was teaching at, it was 92%, you know, Mexican-American students. And the band program was in a decline, the orchestra program was in a decline, the choir program was in a decline, and kids said, I want to play mariachi. So I started giving, you know, guitar lessons in my social studies classroom after school, and before long the students said, "We want a mariachi class." So I had them, it was my first lesson in organizing. And so I said, "You got to do a petition to the principal, and you got to get all of your friends to sign the petition, but not only your friends, but everybody you know that, and you got to get their parents to sign the petition. And if you can get 200 signatures, I will get you a meeting with the principal." And sure enough, you know, 4 weeks later, they came back to me and they had 500 plus signatures. Oh, wow. So I got them a meeting with the principal, and they demanded that they wanted a mariachi program. And the principal came to my classroom and he said, "Carranza, what are you doing?" And I was like, "You know, Mr. Gastelum, I'm preparing for my next class." And he said, no, "What are you doing with this organizing?" I said, I don't know. What's going on?" He said, "Well, all these kids want a mariachi program. Do you know how to teach mariachi?
Do you have a plan?"
And I'm like, "Of course I do. I didn't. Do you have a curriculum? Of course I do. I didn't. Do you have instruments? Of course I do. I did have instruments." And, you know, the next year we launched with 15 kids. And by the time I became an administrator, we had over 250 kids Whoa. Learning mariachi music.
Amazing.
It spoke to them. It spoke to who they were as people and their cultural heritage. And I'll share one more thing. You know, the mariachi program eventually became so big that the band, the orchestra, and the choir program, every year we'd have a fall concert, we'd have a spring concert. And they came to me and they said, "Carranza, there's no room in our concert for all of the mariachi kids and their parents. So, you know, we're going to do the spring concert and maybe the mariachi can have their own concert." And I said, you know, instead of getting mad about it, I said, "Oh, yeah, I understand completely." So we created our own spring concert. But instead of calling it the spring concert, we called it Serenata a Nuestras Madres.
Ooh.
And nice. We serenaded our mothers. We sold out three programs, 650, you know, seats, three times. And it was a serenade to our mothers and grandmothers. And I saw the transformative nature of mariachi education, because the toughest kid, the hardest kid in my school that was playing vihuela and would sing Las Mañanitas to his grandmother, and his grandmother would cry, and he would cry because his grandmother was crying and his mother was crying. It was this instant connection across generations that just, it was an indelible memory in my mind about the power of our music and our culture and our history. And that's why I'm such a big advocate of mariachi music in our schools, because it connects families, it connects generations.
Oh, I love
And now
I
you're back. You're back in San Antonio after being in New York.
Yeah, yes. You hit some stops along the way. You've been a main person for education in a lot of different municipalities. Why don't you just kind of name the list?
Yeah, so after I left Tucson, I went to Las Vegas, Clark County School District. At the time, it was the fifth largest school district in the country. I was a principal, high school principal. Then I became a region superintendent. From there, I went to San Francisco, California. I was a deputy superintendent, then became the superintendent. From San Francisco, I went to Houston, which was the seventh largest district in the nation and the largest in Texas. I was superintendent there, and then I was recruited to New York City, which is the largest school district in the world, 1.1 million students, and I was chancellor of the schools in New York City.
Espérate, que me caí de mi silla. Dude, that's a lot of kids in the school district, but wow.
1.1 million students. I used to tell my teachers, every day that New York City is in session, one out of 300 Americans is sitting in one of our classrooms. Wow. That's how big it was. But you know what I'm most proud about, Anthony and Rodri, is that in every one of those cities that I went to, I always wore my traje. Mm. I gigged. I played with a local mariachi. And in every one of those cities, I was part of establishing a mariachi program in the schools in those cities. And in every one of those cities, those programs are still not only in place, but they're growing.
Wow, that's an amazing Bravo. Journey. Yes. And I will say, I know you and I know what you do. And I know you're an advocate for mariachi education. And, you know, in the very beginning, it was tough, you know, to be a mariachi yeah. teacher. For a lot of reasons, because the music wasn't respected. You know, it wasn't considered a real art form as far as, you know, like band or choir or orchestra.
Well, you say in the beginning, but it saddens me to say that we're still in the same situation.
And
because
that's what I was going to talk about. Too. Yeah.
As advanced as Texas is, there's tremendous challenges there with the, you know, I don't know, the restraint that one has to have there. I've talked to a lot of our educators and say, we get so much pushback in being able yeah. to get money. And here in California, it's a little bit, you know, we don't have as much pushback here from community support, but getting into the curriculum is not as easy because unlike Texas, we don't have it in the curriculum because we don't have the teachers to teach mariachi. And why? Because they can't get graduate programs. So yeah. why are you going to go and study mariachi? Well, first of all, it isn't offered. I mean, UCLA has some courses, but you can't get any kind of a degree to teach music. So our kids here end up getting taught by musicians, which, you know, they're not teachers. They mean well and they want to do well, but they are musicians. And it's yeah. very different. And you know it's a very different animal to teach music. So I beg to differ that it's not just a past thing. It's a current thing that has got to change.
I agree. And I think that, you know, one of the things that people would say to me when we were trying to establish the programs was, you know, why should we teach this music? It's not a recognized musical form. You know, it's played in bars for drunks. I actually have people say that to me, and I would say, well, then why are we teaching jazz in our schools? Yeah. I mean, jazz is played in lounges yeah, and they serve alcohol. So what's the difference? So I agree with you. And I think that one of the things that's happening though, is that there is this resurgence, this renaissance of kids. I'm going to tell you this right now. One of my students that was probably one of my most, he was probably on a track to go to jail. And he was just incredibly talented. And when he refocused himself from the negative issues to being a positive force and being part of the mariachi and really wanted to do well, he soared. And he graduated from high school. Now he's in charge of all of the mariachi programs in Chicago. And I'm very proud to say I'm going to go baptize his daughter in a couple of weeks.
What a story.
In Chicago. I'm going to be his compadre because he said, you changed my life.
Yep.
But it's not about me. It's about the movement. And mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm so proud of Mariachi USA is that when mariachis were playing in the backyards and playing in the quinceañeras, which is great. I mean, that's what we do. But then you also are able to step on the stage that the Beatles have stepped on, that Barry Manilow has been on, that Neil Diamond has been on, you know, the Hollywood Bowl. And we're absolutely able to get on that stage and perform our music in that environment. It sends a message that this isn't just something that's done in backyards. This is something that's done in backyards and on the biggest stage of the world. And I think, you know, I just have so much gratitude to Rodri for having that vision before anyone else thought that it could happen, and you made it happen. And here we are, you know, decades later, celebrating the fact that this is going to happen again, and it's going to continue to happen, and it's going to continue to showcase the music of our families, of our heritage, you know, who we are. This is just it's a real point of pride. And I'm just so proud of the fact that we're going to celebrate this concert, and it's the best musicians in the world that are going to be on that stage. And guess what? They happen to be playing mariachi music.
That's right. And the congregation says, amen.
You hit the nail on the head because it is the home of the Los Angeles Philharmonic that has hosted virtuosos from all over the world, symphonies from all over the world. And there are a lot of virtuosos actually that never get to play on that stage.
Yep.
So for me, it's a privilege to host all of you and to partake in that moment, that in that very special sacred moment of 5 hours, because that's exactly what it seems like. It's like a moment in time, 5 hours. And it's just adds to your mariachi DNA. And each group has their own individual sound, their own feel, and their own connection with the audience. And Richard, knowing that you're in the audience, and I know that Tiger and I have discussed this ad nauseum of how we feel, and it's like, vamos a aburrir a la gente, pobrecita. We keep repeating the same thing, but unless you're there, tienes que sentirlo y vivirlo porque no se puede describir.
Sí.
You know, siéntelo, vívelo. So that you know what Mariachi USA is. We can't tell you. You know what? I'll buy you a ticket if you want. But you have to go experience. Don't ask me to describe what it's like. I have media asking me that, you know. Well, tell us what it feels. Tell us what Mariachi USA is. I said, I can't. You know, tell your network to send you, cover it, and then you'll know. And then they're so enthralled in the show, they forget. I mean, I've had photographers who, at the end of the show, I said, well, where's my photographs? Oh my God, I'm sorry. I missed that shot because I couldn't believe. And these are non-Latinos, you know, or people that are not into the mariachi music. And they said, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this. I'm so sorry I missed the shot. I promise I'll get it next year. I said, no, it's okay. They just sit down and start watching the show and they forget what they're supposed to be working. And it happens to everybody. Everybody, the box office people come running, and it's not easy coming up that hill at the Hollywood Bowl. You've walked it, so you know what it's like.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They're running up there, all the production The house people are coming up to see the show, and they don't want to miss the fireworks, and they don't want to miss our halftime jam where we get everybody up and dancing and singing Las Mañanitas. And then we've got that sing along, and I see you from on stage, Richard. You're up there singing Viva Mexico, El Rey, Volver, La Negra, with all of our dancers and the regalia and the mariachis and that great finale. And when you hear everybody singing El Rey and Volver, Volver, ay, por favor. I melt.
It's yes. Like
waterproof mascara, waterproof everything up there.
it's an unbridled celebration of who we are. And I think, and in one of the greatest venues in the world. And, you know, how many times you get to say that? It's an unbridled celebration of who we are in the one of the greatest musical venues of the world. And I think that's what Mariachi USA is. And that's why I'm so proud of the work that you're doing and that you continue to do, and you continue to bring musical talent to that stage. And, you know, I tell my students, you know, I tell my students, because, you know, I'm a former superintendent, but I still have a lot of students. And I tell them, if you have not been, you have to go, because you have to experience what it's like to have this complete euphoric experience where you're in the audience and you're part of the show. You're not just listening to the music, you're part of the show. And I think you captured it very well when you said what it's like. That's what it's like. That's Mariachi USA.
It is.
Thank you.
Richard, we want to thank you very much for being part of our Mariachi USA, the podcast. We want to really thank you, and we appreciate you showing your Mariachi DNA in every part of your life, whether it's in a boardroom or just in the backyard. You're one of the ones, and I've said this, that if there was a federal bureau of mariachis, you'd be one of the, you know, we'd have to hide you in the safe room if there was an attack, because you're one of the treasures that I consider.
FBM, Federal yes, Bureau of Mariachis.
You're up there.
You're the executive director now.
Yes, you're the designated survivor. But thank you very much.
Bueno, hermano, nos vemos, ¿no? Sí. Junio 8.
Yes.
Nos vemos ahí. Ahí vamos a estar. And I can't wait to be there.
And your Changuitos Fails are going to be there performing for you.
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to be there with my Campanas de America. I can't wait.
Yes. I mean, imagine Mariachi Cobre, Mariachi Camperos, Campanas de America, Los Reyes and Divas are celebrating their 25th anniversary. So what a show. And then fireworks. The fireworks.
Qué alegría. Qué alegría. That's beautiful. And that's what it should be. It should be a celebration of who we are. And I just want to say to you, Rodri, thank you, hermana. Un fuerte abrazo. You are the most humble servant that we have for our music. And you wear it very well, because you don't trumpet it. But those of us that are in the business know that you are the most fiercest proponent of our music. And I just want to say to my compa, Tiger, I love you, brother. You are feroce, and I just cannot wait to share the stage with you.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Richard.
And I know there's a tequila around you somewhere, and I have mine here, so salud.
I'm ready for one.
Salud.
A box of Kleenex.
Salud.
Yeah, take care. Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, Rodri,
I'm speechless.
I love our podcast, being able to connect and share the stories of everybody who has that strong mariachi DNA.
All over the United States, all over the world, but we're focusing on Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.
Right. Yep. We're going to continue doing these.
I think so. I'm really liking it now.
I'm comfortable.
I think we should like stay in
I think I'm gonna take my sombrero off for the next one. And stop being so formal. All right. Ahua.
If you sing El Rey, you have mariachi DNA.
Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.